Alex, we're here.
We are here. It's good to be here. Nice to both be back in our respective homes, chatting on the stream once again.
Oh, and thank goodness for that. Yeah. You've been on the road a little bit. I've been on the road a little bit. But before we get into our various misadventures, we have a small tweak, a little bit of an announcement. And well, people are wondering if we've got the chat up. We're reconfiguring a little bit about how we do this, and that starts with the branding. So we're calling this Off Protocol moving forward, and it's not because I always spell office hours office horse, but it has to do with how we are changing up the format just a little bit. And we're going to keep doing these live streams. We're going to keep doing these every couple of weeks. We'll stay on the biweekly schedule, but we're also going to be throwing in what I'm calling conversations. And what we found was that when we had a special guest, those were our favorite episodes. They were everybody else's favorite episodes. And but the live stream just, it was like too much, you know? And so we're going to treat those a little bit more like an actual interview. And a little bit later today, you'll be able to go to appproto.com and you'll be able to download previous episodes. And then we'll also have a first of this new format where we've got a pre-recorded conversation featuring our very own Paul Frazee and Daniel Holmgren talking about the history of the protocol, where we've been, where we're going. I'm super excited about it. You'll be able to follow along in your RSS feed. Videos are coming very soon. And like I said, we've got some of the pre-recordings that people, some of the recorded, the formerly office hours that people have been asking for. So that's out of the way. I'm excited. I hope you're excited.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited for all the work that you did to give our chats like a proper landing page and proper syndication and all those things that you need to be a real live compliant podcast. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that you've added those to our website framework. And so once again, it's one more neat integration into an atmospheric website that we can start to make inroads into.
You know, what's interesting is, well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And like I said, we're going to hit the button. We're going to hit the publish button on that one after we finish up here. One thing that's interesting is that there's not yet, like, there's not a standard site for podcasts. And I think we could probably use the existing standard site lexicons, but yeah, so that was one of the things I looked in. So we're going to figure out how to make some of these things work on protocol as well. But you know, RSS, cockroach of the internet.
I was going to say, like, it's one of those funny examples where, like, RSS is still very durable in the podcast space, right? And like, everybody kind of likes RSS in the podcast space. Maybe there's no need for us to reinvent the wheel here. Maybe this is our way of saying, like, we're going to make an RSS adapter for the atmosphere that happens to fit very nicely for podcasts, right? And that way you can drop in a component that does something along those lines. That to me seems pretty doable, and not just because in my Write the Docs talk, when I was in Portland last week, which we'll get to in a second, I was doing a call and response bit because I was really feeling myself on stage. I love that conference. And I was getting the audience, you know, really simple syndication, really simple syndication. And now if you go and watch the recording of the talk, they didn't have the crowd mic'd up very effectively. So it seems like people were not into my call and response thing, which is kind of a bummer. And it makes it even more questionable where that I then changed it to nausea, heartburn. And I swear to God, every person in that room in unison, indigestion. And it was so beautiful. And amazing. It was just very happy for me that we can go from talking about RSS to talking about Pepto-Bismol. I thought it was a beautiful moment, but it turns out you had to be there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very zen in that respect, right? Like sometimes we just, in this world where I feel like we're always under surveillance everywhere we go, sometimes it's nice to just have that in-person experience.
You know, as much as I'm trying to microblog and leave every weird, questionable post of mine up there forever for everyone to go and find because I'm really committed to the blue sky experience, it's true. You can't capture every bad decision, just most of them.
Yeah, no, true. Very, very true. Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit more about Write the Docs. You were in Portland last week, and you mentioned that this is one of your favorite conferences, right?
It is one of my very favorite conferences. I've actually, part of my intro spiel I wrote for myself is that I've gotten in trouble at two separate jobs for saying it's my favorite conference while I was supposed to be promoting my employer's own conference. So I really do love it quite a bit. It is transcended jobs. I've been speaking there for a while. It's a great community to get to and just talk to people about technical writing and where it's headed. I think it's a community that's gotten really, really sharp about AI adoption in recent years. And something that I found really interesting about the Write the Docs community is that they are vendor supported, right? It's a really good, well-produced conference. They've got a lot of good local AV support. It's very production heavy for being like a single track conference for technical writers who often don't get a big stage like that. So I really like that aspect of it. Their sponsors had kind of shrunk down, it felt like, right after the pandemic. And it was partially, I assume, because a lot of technical writers were moving off of SaaS offerings, which are the kind of folks who would naturally be inclined to sponsor a conference, and onto like open markdown tooling like Docusaurus, in our case, like a Next.js site that you're just bolting atmospheric components onto. And there wasn't much market for there, I think, for a while, right? Like people couldn't figure out how to vendorize that relationship. What I saw this year is that vendors are getting into the open tooling space. So we have now like kind of commercial open source companies who have a product that's built on top of MDX. And I think that's really cool. It's good for them for sustainability, obviously. It's getting more money into the ecosystem, and it's also helping them more naturally figure out how and where to talk about AI process in content generation around documentation. So really healthy community, had a great time. Gave a talk there at the last day on the Tuesday. Just so happened that the Portland App Proto meetup was going on about 10 blocks away 2 hours later. So I was like, ah, sure, what the heck? I can be in front of people for another couple of hours. I don't have to go and, you know, desperately scrub off the crowds just yet. And so had a really nice time. Saw a lot of the local App Proto Portland community as well. Brittany Ellick gave a really good talk. And I headed back to Portland. And I believe that you headed to Portland earlier this week.
Yeah, exactly. We were both, and we both got to separately visit our friends. I would say they're probably friends of the protocol at Panic, longtime Mac software developers turned video game publishers. I think we both got to hang out in their offices a little bit. But the entire Blue Sky developer relations team was visiting Portland within about a week of each other. And I was really excited. I had a little bit of a mini meetup. It was almost a mini Atmosphere Conf meetup. We pulled some folks in. We recorded an episode of Jason Langsdorf's Code TV. That's a fantastic YouTube channel. If you're not following Code TV on YouTube, we're going to figure out once VODs become available, we're going to figure out how to get him more on protocol. But he's been running this fantastic Code TV channel for a while. He's got a number of different shows. What's the lingo? If you have a channel on YouTube, and then is it a playlist or a show? However we think about it. And so we recorded an episode of, he does this kind of, I think of it as kind of like an Iron Chef, but for web developers. And he calls it the Web Dev Challenge. And so we brought a bunch of folks in, a bunch of familiar faces, even some faces, some names I'm recognizing on the chat here. I won't give too much away, but there were a lot of folks that were really familiar with the protocol, and then there were a few folks that hadn't really done much, and so with App Proto yet, and so we got to see kind of a mix. But everybody had about 4 hours to essentially rebuild their personal website using App Protocol, and like I said, it was really fun. Jason is such a pro; he did just a really fantastic job of with the whole production and getting everything set up. I felt like I had a makeup person, and I felt like I was a real star there for a minute.
Yeah, it's both flattering to have somebody following you around going, excuse me, I have to fix your makeup. And then immediately unflattering because you're like, oh no, I must be sweating profusely, right? And
why am I so sweaty?
How it feels, right? It's like someone's looking after my every need. Oh no, right? You turn that dial very quickly in practice.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm so glad you had fun with it. I can't wait for the video to come out. I know his editing process is always really cool, and he produces like a very watchable, like a game show style format almost. So looking forward to that coming out during this season of Code TV in a matter of weeks to months, it sounds like.
I think we're targeting early June. We've got a little bit of work to do on our end too. And, you know, they're hard at work getting everything, making all the magic happen. But you've actually been on the Web Dev Challenge, am I right?
I have. My previous employer, Temporal, we did an episode, and that wasn't as much of like a front-end product. It was hard to figure out how to make it sort of like web dev-y, and I thought we did a really good swing at that. I'm really looking forward to figuring out what the Atmosphere devs did, because it feels like it lends itself more naturally to sort of front-end experimentation.
I agree. And this is also just, you know, we want to get as many web developers, front, back, middle, whichever part of the stack you're on, really into building app proto. So like I'm so excited that Jason loves the protocol so much. And I was also, it's a real perfect audience for us. So could not be happier with getting in front of them. And I'm pretty excited. I'm certain we'll have more to do as well. We've got more events coming up.
More events coming up, a lot more events coming up. It's springtime. I always tell everyone that, like, I don't normally just fly around constantly, but it seems to happen this time of year inevitably. And then it like stops dead in June and July for a bit and I can catch my breath. But until then, myself and Paul and Jay will all be in San Francisco next Tuesday night for an SF at Proto meetup, co-organized with community members Tessa from Germ and Ted of the Atmosphere Conference and at Proto community team. We are really psyched to all be heading down just for one night to get some FaceTime with the community, to show off some of Paul's exciting new work on Addy. And there might also be some infra as a service work that's related to his Addy demo. So we still have probably 5-10 slots available there. I will paste the Luma and Atmo RSVP link into the chat and make sure that people can find that. If they have the ability to be in SF next week, I think it'll be a great time. I'm going home the very next day, but then about 5-6 days later, I am heading up to Toronto for an event that we are doing in collaboration with Gander for Toronto Tech Week. And so we're also going to be doing mostly a meetup, similar structure. We'll probably have, you know, a few talks on the program and then just some time to socialize and talk about the protocol and what's exciting to folks. And that is happening the Thursday after next. So that would be on May 28th. Also going to be doing a journalist night in Toronto in collaboration with The Hatchet, a Canadian media organization, night before on the 27th, the Wednesday. So swinging by SF, swinging by Toronto, and then maybe you can't pay me to get on a plane for a few weeks. We'll see.
You know, it's funny. I like talking about conference season and travel season. And a friend of mine who also works in developer relations, different organization, was asking if I was going to DevRelCon in New York in July, and I have zero desire to go to New York in July.
You know, I like the hot garbage. I understand they've innovated past hot garbage recently, which is kind of sad. It's like, that shows my age now, talking about hot garbage.
Yep. No, yeah. But that's also having lived in New York, do love that city, not necessarily in July. But I suspect the reason that they do DevRelCon then is it's kind of a lull between the conference seasons.
That makes sense. We used to live near Fort Greene, and I used to take my dog for a run at Fort Greene Park in the mornings, again, in the summer, right? And it was always funny because whenever we were going to leave the park, we were like on our way out. I was like, all right, time to go home. Come on, bud. It would always, if it had rained at any point in the last like week, there was like a part of Fort Greene Park that would just flood. And he knew, it's like when you're ready to go home, that's when it's time to go roll around in the mud and get all wet and disgusting. So I have to throw you in the shower when we get back to the apartment on my way to work. It was a really nice routine we had.
Absolutely. It's lovely how they just know that for us. Speaking of New York, one last pitch for New York. The local New York group, they had a meetup a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date, but it sounds like it was really well attended. It sounds like we got 40 or 50 folks there. We were happy to sponsor some beer and pizza. And I believe the New York crew, maybe a couple of them are on the chat here, they're interested in keeping that rolling once a month or so. And so I'm hoping that they can sustain that. We're going to be happy to support that as much as we can. But and then I think when it's not steaming, I'll probably try to make a trip up and hang out with the folks that are up there. And but there are a ton of these kind of local events that are happening. I think so much of the energy that came out of AtmosphereConf in March is continuing on. So really happy to see that.
Yeah, I actually missed an AppProto LA event last weekend just because I was like, I cannot go do work travel on the weekend again. It's been like three consecutive weeks, but yeah, it's been great to see all the enthusiasm carry forward. And we want to do everything we can to just help those events thrive and be sustaining. So if you have something you need for your local group, please get after Jim or I. We'll do what we can to make sure that you can keep that moving.
Absolutely. Should we move on to producty news?
Let's do it. So I have, first of all, some of like the internally producty news. Let's see. Let's go down through the list right here. One thing that we've been cooking up is an account manager interface for our reference PDS. We haven't cut a reference PDS release in a little while, but some people have gone and they've found it. This is something that's been asked for a while. The PDS doesn't have much of a web interface to speak of right now. It mostly has endpoints that you can hit with GOAT and that, you know, our relay knows how to talk to and things like that. We are shipping a mini account manager interface in our reference PDS, in part because some community PDSs have gotten ahead of us on this. And we're also looking forward to expanding this dev service throughout the year, you know, figuring out if we can add dashboards for monitoring, you know, how your PDS is doing in terms of performance and uptime. Right now, we just have these individual user interfaces. That's shipping relatively soon. We've got some docs in the hopper as well. Got a PR open on our doc site for that. In addition to that, it's been Ozone Week for me. I don't know why I decided it was Ozone Week. I think because I, you know, this is typical DevRel. We're like, I have one good test instance for everything from our stack. And I go 3 months without looking at half of them. I'm like, oh no, I got to look at Ozone again. And while I'm looking at it, let me get everything I can out of my test instance. That's some inside baseball for you if you haven't done DevRel book before. But a couple cool things. One, we got a blog post out earlier this week about the new report-based moderation in Ozone. I think this is really, really, really cool. What this does is it makes, there's new a beta interface in Ozone where you can make a report the sort of core object that you are interacting with over the course of a moderation workflow. Rather than the post itself being that core object, you work around the report. This enables a lot of higher context moderation, which is something that I know people are really interested in seeing. You know, like we always talk about Blue Sky is not like moderating a community forum. Not everyone knows everybody. You don't always have context for saying like, this is okay, this is not okay. And so we default to trying to make that low context work and try to apply all of our rules equally. In this case, having that report-based moderation flow should really help make low context moderation more intelligible, more collaborative, and better auditable for people who want to review moderation decisions. So I think that's a big, big gain in terms of how our moderators can work. And I wrote that up on our blog in collaboration with the Ozone team, got it out on Monday. Super psyched there. I also wanted to keep that streak going. And one thing that Brian Newbold, protocol engineer, who is currently on sabbatical, had been asking after us to do for quite a while was to improve our sample statusphere tutorial with a labeling component. Brian was always saying like, hey, you know, we don't demonstrate non-Blue Sky labels often enough. It's kind of like feeds in that respect, right? Where it's like, this can work outside of Blue Sky, but we don't really do enough to prove it out. And statusphere, it's like, it's all well and good to have an example app, but we should show the moderation flow. And I was like, hey, what the heck? I'm already looking at Ozone. So I went ahead and added a follow-up tutorial to statusphere that integrates labels. You can report, you can then go onto the Ozone side and see the report, and you can decide whether to action it or not. So nice little addition I'm pretty pleased about. And just helping to build out the narrative around moderation and around Ozone. There's a lot of tools in that space right now. Like I'm really excited about Black Sky's Acorn, about Roost's Coop. I think the moderation ecosystem is really growing in 2026. And I feel like we don't take enough time to talk about like how much Ozone is currently doing at scale right now. And so I want to make sure everybody can benefit from just how we think about these tools. And that way we're all sort of informing one another in the decision to make.
And a little bit of inside baseball for folks, you know, the communication around these changes was really driven by the Ozone team and the work that they were doing. They came to us, they presented some of the work that they were doing. They were really interested in collaborating with us. I think this is the first real collaboration we've done with the Ozone team since either of us started. But they were really interested in kind of making sure that we communicated that out. So I was just personally really happy to see that, and was really grateful for them.
Yeah, me too. All right. And we have some app news, or at least some not like internal Doxy DevRally news. I really liked Dame's work this week on announcing the @URI browser extension. That is very cool. This lets you define like a default handler for @:// protocol links so you can route them to a different client on your machine. Being a sometimes desktop Linux person myself, like just figuring out like how you think about your different browsers and where you want links to go, because nobody ships desktop Linux clients. And so you've got like Blue Sky running in Opera pinned to one desktop, but you actually want the links to open in Chrome and your main browser window, all this stuff, right? Like that's often unhandled. I also think there's the discourse around like, how do we put @URI links right in front of people, right? I know like PDSLS is really good about just having you append an @URI link to the root URL, but not every app can or wants to do that. And I think we probably can do more to socialize the idea of @URI links, especially now that we're thinking about doing like maybe a different URI schema for permission data spaces. I know Daniel's been talking about that in his mentions this week, whether that's going to be like /:// Somebody suggested pasta:// because it's like technically usable as a backronym for permission data. Yeah, I think all permission data should be inherently Italian is something I'm going to try to advocate for from here on. But in the meantime, very excited about this @URI project.
And I do believe, just because I was sitting next to Dame as they were trying to get the extension approved by Mozilla. I believe the pronunciation is Aturi, which is just delightful. And
that so, makes sense. Yeah,
check it out. A few people are doing interesting things with the .at domain name. I know that Taproot, which is a similar PDS Explorer, their URL is @proto.at. And so you can just append anything that's prefixed with an at to the end of @proto.at, and it will figure it out for you, which I've always found very clever.
Love it.
And we're hiring a couple of like blue sky-ish news that will absolutely bleed into @proto land. We're hiring a lead product designer. There seemed to be some big excitement about that. And I think what's interesting about it is not so much like, you know, we're hiring a mid-level manager position, but I guess this would be a high-level management decision. But this role is actually all about just kind of like reimagining how Blue Sky shows up and how we integrate the rest of the ecosystem and the atmosphere into it. So, you know, the important thing for this person to understand is just how Blue Sky fits into this massive ecosystem and how we can pull all of that in, whether that's discovery or search or reimagining what we think of as a social app today even looks like. So I'm very excited for this. I hope folks watching are very excited about kind of like what this means for the ecosystem at large.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. And I know you and I just talked about how like we tend to post a lot of like senior and staff level engineering roles, right? It's people who want to get involved, who want to work with us, you know, they'll look at those and they're like, well, I'm not a staff level platform engineer. There's probably, you know, like not a great way for me to apply to Blue Sky right now. I'm always excited when we post like more of a like a soft skills position of any kind, frankly, because just building out the team on that end, I talk to so many people who would like to get involved, and I do want to just encourage all of them to apply if they're thinking about it. Like again, please feel free to talk to us about this, but it's great to have more opportunities to get involved with this project. Yeah, it's great to grow the team.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A bit of breaking news. Speaking of product, our head of product, Alex Benzer, announced that we are exploring what an edit button might look like. And I'm actually surprised the site stayed up. I would have thought that that was the kind of news that would have just caused everyone to lose their mind. But seems to be going along pretty well. This has been a once or twice requested feature, as far as I know.
Yeah, just you know, we hear about it, I think, once every probably 6 or 12 months, you know, like some old dying hermit will crawl out from under his Patrick from SpongeBob house that he lives under, where it's basically just a large rock, and he'll sort of breathe his last and go, edit button! And then he'll expire right on the ground in front of us. And the weird thing is it keeps happening. And so I don't know if this is, if a witch did it or like what's leading to this, but we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Absolutely. So, I'm trying to convince the product team that anyone who has responded to any account, any of the main accounts posts with edit button win, that they're last, that they, we put them at the last of the list before it gets rolled out. But I'm told that that's going to be too much development cycle for trolling. So, so we'll probably just give it to everybody. But I think there are some protocol implications for this as well. We're, you know, as Alex mentioned in that thread, that announcement, by the way, was part of a thread, kind of his thinking about, you know, what's actually hard about the edit button. And it has very little to do with making our posts editable and more to do with how do you make the fact that something has been edited, how do you make that legible to people? How do you handle it from a TNS perspective? It's not like we don't know how to update records.
Yeah. All fun things to look into. And one more feature I want to shout out that we did ship this week that I'd actually wanted for a long time. And it was one of those things I was never quite sure if we were close to shipping it because it depended on a bunch of like HLS video stuff. Now, when you post a Blue Sky post with video elsewhere on the web, you can play that video in line without having to actually click through to Blue Sky, the app. This is something that's really cool that I think was overdue. It's one of those things that makes video sharing on the platform way easier. All the time when I'm reading like a sports blog, for example, on defector.com, a wonderful website for reading sports blogs, they often will have embedded posts from X because that's where you can just play a video in line. If you uploaded like a 90-second video of baseball that you were watching, for example, Mets having a great year, by the way. And the fact that we have now closed this feature gap where you can just easily embed a post containing video anywhere else on the internet without having to click through, that feels pretty significant. This is one of those things that I always think, you know, sort of like permission data. I think we're leaving a lot on the table until we aren't. And then all of a sudden you can do this and it's like, okay, great, let's do it. So just want to take a moment to shout that out. I think that's actually a bigger deal than we realize. And I'm looking forward to seeing more wide embedding of Blue Sky video.
Absolutely. A little bit of cross-pollination from my professional lives. Maybe 2-3 months ago now, Slack actually shipped an embedded video native into the Slack application. And this actually does not rely on our video embed thing. I think that they... oh, you know what? It's actually the same feature as shipping inside of Chrome. It's what was it? HLS? Is that the video?
Yeah, it was an HLS thing. And yeah, so Slack exactly. Kind of probably piggybacked on that somehow.
Totally. Yeah. And because Slack, at least the desktop app, is built on Chrome, then, you know, once it shipped into Chrome, they were able to pull it in. So I was personally very gratified to see that videos started playing in line in my Blue Sky embeds inside of Slack, because we embed a few of those every once in a while.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. While we're waiting for the questions to drop in, you mentioned the Mets. I think you and I are very in a very weird position as a Cubs fan. I'm very nervous about the fact that we are, last I checked, first place in our division, and because that does not bode well for the Cubs. I feel like, you know, this is about the time we start our long, slow descent into madness. And, you know, as I've razzed you a little bit, you said you were actually kind of feeling good coming out of April because now it's time to start the long, slow uphill climb.
Yeah, like I really love that we've already gotten all the failure out of the way up front. Right. It's like the other shoe dropped immediately. Right. You just kind of open the door. There's the shoe. It's on the floor. We're like, all right, let's figure out how to put this shoe back on. It just feels like a way healthier place to begin from is like we suck so bad. We are entering with like a 15 win deficit, completely unforced error. And like, let's see if we can crawl our way back up. It must have been so relaxing for Batman to be at the bottom of that pit that Bane put him in, right? Because he'd be like, all right, I only have to go straight up this pit now, right? I don't have to worry about maintaining my dominion over the city. Like, we've already lost it all. Like, it's such a relief, you know? And as a Mets fan, I just feel like probably Batman was cheering for the wrong team.
Probably cheered for the wrong team, yeah.
Yeah.
We do have a couple of questions coming in. Brian, aka Chaos Gremlin, wants to know what we're going to do about GIFs. Not a fan of the current GIF implementation. Brian, the first thing we had to do, we had to swap out the backend implementation because was it Google shut down Tenor? Is that what ended up happening? I think they were our GIF provider. But we do have some work in place to fix up the interface. So we're working on it. Thank you for your attention to detail there. Some questions about post-editing, how we plan to implement this technically, purely an app view side of things. We're still working on the exact implementation. And this is from Kuba. And but you know, it'll be pretty straightforward. We're gonna maintain some versioning, so you'll be able to refer back to what the previous version said. Again, that's more of a design and a TNS kind of a problem. We term this one the puppy problem, which is you log in, you write "I love puppies," you get a lot of engagement because who doesn't want to engage with such hard hitting posts? And then you go in and you change it to "I love something other than puppies." And all of a sudden everybody's mad at you and they're digging up your old posts and say, "You liked a post that said, I like the Mets," or whatever. And you just thought you were saying, "I like puppies." And we're going to maintain the versioning for that reason, for sure.
Yeah. Like the basic cable edit of the sandwich board scene from Die Hard 3.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. That was Die Hard 1, I think.
Very nice. I'm glad that I could just throw that at you for no reason, completely unprompted, and you got it. Well, coming back at you.
Brian was also complaining that that there aren't enough DevRels who love pop culture. And so, like, you know, you and I are both right on that millennial Gen X cusp. So we got to throw it right back at him.
Not a problem we have, for better and
worse.
There
we go. Yeah. And how often does the puppy problem happen? Well, that'll be a good question. I think we're closing in about time. We're going to try to keep these conversations. The idea is that we want our live stream to still kind of feel lively, but we don't want it to drag out too long. So if you've got questions, drop them in now. But we also want this to be something that for folks that are listening at home, on your commute or whatever, this will be your quick commute. And then we'll have our conversation episodes that'll be a little bit longer. So a little bit later today, be sure to check back to appproto.com, where we're going to have the new off-protocol episodes available. It's not a full weekend's worth of listening, but it'll get you through your chores. So look for that.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, Chaos Gremlin. Happy birthday, Brian. You keep us honest, and I appreciate that about you.
That's right.
I did, you know what? I saw online that it was your birthday. And so thank you for reminding us in the stream too. A lot of happy birthday for Brian. All right. Looks like that's it. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I'm going to end it now. Hope everybody has a great weekend, and we're excited for the slight change to the format. Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll see you all soon in a couple of weeks.
Till next time.
All right. Feeling good.
That was great. That was a fun one. Nice and quick and dense. Nothing to it. That was just whip through the agenda, 35 minutes. It